Welcome to today's Informed Infrastructure Podcast on Urban Planning, brought to you by Bentley Systems. I'm Todd Danielson, Editorial Director of Informed Infrastructure. Cities want to improve urban planning with greater levels of detail and optimize the performance of existing assets. Cities need processes for getting quick buy-in, as well as communicating plans in a comprehensive, visually aesthetic, and compelling way, helping citizens understand the impact of plans on their lives and get information on ongoing projects, potentially improving their safety and helping to avoid commuting congestion near project sites. Using Bentley products, cities can provide a fast, easy, and visual way to successfully communicate, promote, and share city projects in an interactive way to gain citizen buy-in and attract investors. To talk about their solutions related to urban planning, we have two esteemed speakers from Bentley Systems, John DeVries, Senior Director of Business Development for Digital Cities, and Kurt Rasmussen, Senior Application Engineer. We're going to be discussing a four-step implementation plan for better urban planning. Let's start right with step one, which is creating the digital context. Now, Kurt, there are a lot of technologies that help create detailed urban models. Can you tell us why we need these models, as well as how to build them?
Sure, thanks, Todd. We've all seen applications out there that show 3D cities, but they're only as current as the day they were captured. And I'm unaware of any way to bring these 3D models together and interact with citizens' and stakeholders' needs. That's where we come in. We start with the 3D model creation, and that can be as simple as acquiring aerial images from any number of sources. Some of you may be familiar with photogrammetry, but if you're not, it's the process of taking two-dimensional images and extracting 3D data from it. Now, when I started in this industry, it was a manual process, took several days and many man-hours to gather elevation data. And then that still needed to be manipulated to data that makes sense to the end user. Typically, that was planimetrics and topography. Today, that long process is simplified with Bentley's context capture. With this application, we can convert these 2D images to high-detailed 3D meshes automatically with very little human involvement. These images can be taken from airplanes, helicopters, or even drones. We can also supplement these images with images from the ground to make sure that we can see the project clearly from all aspects. We can also take advantage of using other sensors, such as LiDAR scanners, in conjunction with photographs to create very accurate, realistic-looking mesh models of your city. And for those of you who may not know about LiDAR, it stands for light distance and ranging. Let's just say it's a very accurate way to capture data, especially if lighting conditions aren't the best for photogrammetry.
Great. All right. Thanks, Kurt. I really appreciate that description. Now, that brings us to step two, which involves building the city model. So, Ton, when we create and use these digital twins, how do they provide the information needed for better urban planning? And can you please cite some examples showing that?
Yeah, sure, Tuff. So, let's start first with discussing a little bit what a digital twin is. A digital twin is more than just a 3D model. A digital twin is a digital representation of physical assets, processes, or systems, as well as all the information that allows us to understand and also model its performance. And that's important because that makes it way beyond just a 3D model. Furthermore, a digital twin can be continuously synchronized from multiple sources. And that includes sensors, as well as the continuous surveying that Kurt was referring to. That way, it presents its near real-time status, working condition, or position. And within that digital twin, you now have the opportunity to, for example, as what Helsinki is doing in its Kalasatama project, which is basically a brownfield redevelopment of an industrial site and turning that into a nice urban living area almost on the edge of the center of Helsinki. And what they are doing over there is with this digital twin, they include the reality model, so the context of where this new development will take place. And they include all the 3D models, their CAD, their GIS, their BIM data, and that allows them to do real pedestrian analysis, for example. How does the infrastructure let's say, needs to be designed and how does it react based on the proposed new infrastructure that's being planned. And it's not only pedestrian analysis, it's a lot more. For example, also wind flow analysis. They're building some high rises over there, and as we all know, these have a pretty high impact on how wind actually gets flown through through the city and through the streets. As Helsinki is built pretty close to the sea, they're also going to do some flood analysis in there, as well as shadow and solar potential analysis, because Helsinki is on their journey to become a carbon neutral city, as well as many others around the world. So there's a variety of analysis that now can be done, combining the existing situation of the surrounding and the new development as it is planned for Kalasatama.
Okay, great, Tom. Thank you for clearing that up. Now, obviously, that's going to lead to a lot of data, a lot of information. Can you talk a little bit about how all of this information gets tied together within this digital twin?
Yeah, that's a great question, Todd. And I think that's the foundation of what Bentley Services around digital twins, its iTwin service, is all about. This is all about federation and aggregation of data. Federation, because we leave the sources as they are, and whether these sources are CAT files, GIS systems like from Bentley, from Esri, MapInfo, or others, they can be city GML, for example, which is very popular in Europe and Asia, and becoming a bit more popular in North America as well. But it also includes, for example, all the subsurface data that you can hold of and can get, like your utilities, water, sewer, energy systems that you have data of. So federating that data and then aggregating it in such a way that it is useful for the use case that you, and in this case, the planning use case that we are working on. And to give you a little bit of an example, for a water system, we don't need to know the age of pipes and so forth when we start planning new development. We just need to know what the capacity maybe is and where it is, right? Just to make sure that if we build high rises, that we're not trying to build that on top of a water main with potential problems for foundation and so forth. So aggregation is important. Federation is key in order to make this happen and bring this beyond just a plain CAT and GIS environment.
Okay, thanks, Todd. Now, so this brings us to step three, which is presenting all of this information in a way that urban planners can understand and use. So, Kurt, can you help us understand a little bit about how that's done?
Sure. It all starts with that reality mesh and all the relative data that we're looking to represent. Now, everybody uses different software, different applications that they're looking to view this stuff, but we're tackling this from the perspective of a web application. So you can go through a web browser. So whether you're using Chrome or Internet Explorer, whether you're on an iPhone device or an Android device, you're able to view this stuff. So this really involves everybody involved. So you don't have to worry about versioning and different software. As Todd mentioned, this information can be updated by several planners in real time. It allows them to visualize an architect's design, an engineer's design, also import your GIS for spatial context, and communicate and crowdsource ideas with the community. This gives the urban planner an advantage by knowing their information is current and all the correct parties are involved. If an urban planner is expanding part of a city, they need to be fully aware that the rest of the infrastructure can handle the growth, having access to all the planner's ideas so that they can move forward to the same goal. That's really what we're looking for.
Okay, thanks, Kurt. Appreciate that. Now, this brings us to step four, the final step, which is publishing the information for public consumption. So, Tom, can you describe how digital twins are transforming the way urban planners engage with citizens and stakeholders?
Yeah, thank you, Atul. Again, great question. And I think this is where the real change is, right? This is where we're talking about a transformation of processes and where we talk about optimization and using digital processes to really change the way we are engaging citizens and other stakeholders. So first of all, we've been publishing information to the public for years, right? Web publishing is not something new. But that's always been, or mainly been, a one-way street. We informed the public. The next step, and that's what we're proposing here, and so that's, for example, what the city of Gothenburg has done in their attempt to reach out to their citizens and become more inclusive with their citizens, is they set up a mechanism for citizens to respond back on planning processes and on infrastructure topics that the citizens were concerned about. And this way, they got a way better information source, almost close to crowdsourcing, on information from the public that helped the city hall and the planners to really come up with new solutions and new ideas that were actually, you know, basically had their origin within the community. So in this way, it became a real transformation. And what they also had with this process is that they reduced the time of their planning process. Because in the old days, and we've all been there, right? You plan something, you organize a town hall meeting, and who's showing up? It's mostly the people who are against it, the naysayers. Well, with this new approach, they introduced a mechanism that created a way more balanced view and provided inputs to their planning process from a way bigger and wider audience than ever before. And it's not only web that we're talking about. They've set up big kiosks with touch screens where people could walk in and share their opinions. People could use their mobile phones and so forth. So all kinds of devices and interaction points were provided to or are provided there to the citizens. And that basically leads you to, you know, a mechanism to deliver on the promise of a greater transparency with stakeholders and citizens, to gain buy-in from citizens, but also to attract investors by using these digital experiences like visualization and crowdsourcing through all these devices that I mentioned before, web, mobile, touchscreen, and digital billboards.
Yeah, and Ton, I also want to add that we can also include the ability for VR. So in cases like this for these naysayers, a lot of times they're probably worried about their line of sight or how it's going to look from a certain perspective. So when we can jump into a VR world with this information, they can submerge themselves in there and see exactly what it would look like from that perspective. It's quite interesting to see people put this on and really dive into it and fully understand how it's going to look in the future.
All right. Thank you, Tom and Kurt. That was a great discussion, and I really appreciate it. I learned a lot. But I'm afraid that's all the time that we have. Now, if you feel like you missed something, you can always re-listen to this podcast, or you can access any of the other related materials found in this Informed Infrastructure Professional Development course on practical digital workflows for addressing key city initiatives. Thank you.